The September 11th attacks wiped out 13 million square feet of offices. That and two recessions have led to a loss of 16,000 jobs south of Chamber Street in the past decade, according to the Downtown Alliance Business Improvement District. But while fewer people are working downtown, more people are living there. WNYC's Matthew Sherman reports on the transformation of Ground Zero's neighborhood over the past decade.
The Fred Alger Management Company was located on the 93rd floor of the North Tower. That's where the nose of American Airlines Flight 11 hit on September 11th, 2001. The only employees who survived were those who were somewhere else that morning.
We lost 35 employees, including David Alger, who was the CEO.
Daniel Chung happened to be at a meeting in Midtown when the planes crashed. He was just 39 at the time, but he was the most senior investment manager to survive and the son-in-law of the company's founder. By the end of the day, he had been made chief executive officer.
We were one of the hardest hit firms, I think.
Alger is a mid-sized investment management company serving individuals, institutions, and pension funds. Its clients had close relationships with their money managers. And since so many of those managers died, observers in the financial industry assumed Alger would shutter or be acquired.
That wasn't our thought, and it was never our determination. It was quite different. You know, we were determined to rebuild the firm.
The company had fled to its disaster recovery space in suburban New Jersey and was up and running by the time the stock market opened the following Monday. But one of Chung's first tasks was finding a permanent home, preferably back in Manhattan. Midtown was too expensive, as was, surprisingly, Lower Manhattan. So Alger ended up at 5th Avenue and 18th Street.
We're in an old flat-iron building, which means the outside is sort of a light gray, limestoney kind of rock.
Chung admits it's an unusual location for a Wall Street firm. His neighbors include an H&M clothing store and a Barnes & Noble.
The old staircase, which we can still see, they have beautiful wrought iron.
Chung has gotten to like the space, but he was so focused on making his business succeed that when the architects asked him how he wanted it furnished, he told them he didn't have time to think about it. So they replicated the company's old offices in the World Trade Center.
The gray checked carpet was what we had at the World Trade Center. The chairs that you and I are sitting in were the desk chairs.
There are also large windows and lots of light. But the view isn't quite as good. Instead of being on the 93rd floor, Alger is now on the 2nd and 3rd floors.
The 12th floor was available, and I hate to say it, but I remember talking to Jill Greenwald, who sits next to me, one of our senior managers. She asked me about what floor, and I said, it's going to be a low floor. And she just nodded her head and said, yeah.
The company has recovered from the attacks and then some. It's grown out of its offices, and it's getting ready to move again, a few blocks away, to Park Avenue South. This time, employees will get different furniture and a different carpet. But they'll be on the 2nd and 3rd floors there, too. Chung says those floors have brought the company good luck. While many small financial companies have either moved away or gone out of business entirely, the residential population in Lower Manhattan has boomed.
We are heading towards the Esplanade, walking along some of the restaurants here on our right.
One of the new residents is John Ahn. He and his wife moved into a new high-rise called the Visionaire in 2009 when they were expecting their first child.
We both didn't want to move out of Manhattan. And so this was our best kind of suburban option.
Ahn is an architectural consultant and actually worked on the building before it opened, helping it to obtain the highest environmental rating possible from the U.S. Green Building Council.
So now we're on the upper roof deck on the 12th floor, and it looks like there's an event going on here right now.
Residents had started moving to Lower Manhattan more than 30 years ago, when Battery Park City was created on soil that had been excavated for the first World Trade Center.
How are you?
Then in the 90s, residential developers began converting old office towers in the neighboring financial district. But after September 11th, some people wondered if anyone would want to live downtown. And investors were getting nervous.
We had lost our financing immediately after 9/11 because the banks were not confident that it could work.
That's Martin Detling, senior vice president at the Albany's organization. Albany's had just begun constructing an apartment tower called the Solaire in Battery Park City when the planes hit the Trade Center. Then the federal government stepped in and offered developers in the area $1.6 billion in low-interest Liberty bonds. residents got other incentives to move in or stay. And unlike most other federal housing subsidies, these benefits weren't tied to an individual's income or the creation of affordable housing.
There was still pent-up demand for housing. There was an even more now pent-up demand for housing that hadn't been through the air quality issues.
Census data shows that 23,000 more people are living south of Chambers Street than they were 10 years earlier, and they're overwhelmingly wealthy. The median household income is in the six figures.
That was really the start of the latest housing boom that we had.
John Ahn's building is just a few blocks south of Ground Zero, and yet it seems like a world away from that September morning 10 years ago.
But on a day-to-day basis, you know, it's just a great neighborhood to be in.
That is, until each September, when he sees photos of the neighborhood he and his family walk through every day, covered in dust and ash. And two giant flashlights are mounted on a parking garage across the way to shine what's known as the tribute in light up into the sky. For WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.